Welcome back to the Life, Learning, and Success podcast with David Schumann. This week we have Rial Andrews on, world-renowned actor, daytime soap star, nutrition expert, and entrepreneur. We'll take a look at what it's like to be an entrepreneur within a company, and he always talks about being a champion. You get to find out everything about Rial Andrews, what makes him so successful in acting, life, health, and business. Next on the Life, Learning, and Success podcast.
This is David Schumann here for the Life, Learning, and Success podcast. We're on with one of my most inspirational people, and that's part of what we're going to cover today, as well as health and nutrition and a bunch of other topics. But motivation and inspiration is his forte, with Rial Andrews. Rial, how's everything going?
Great, David. I'm really excited and honored to be here. And I'm just excited to be able to be part of your podcast and make a difference, man.
And making a difference is exactly what you do. I got to know Rial from my NUC combines over the years. For many years, he was with a company called AdvoCare. Now he's with a company called Isagenics, and making a big difference in people's lives. And we'll talk a lot about that. But I want to get a little bit into the backdrop of your story, because we always start this with really getting to know the person that has become the person he is today. So tell me a little bit about, where you were raised and your background growing up in Canada.
Yeah, from beautiful British Columbia, B.C., North Vancouver, B.C. I grew up, I graduated from a class of about 1,200. I was the only African-American, so you can imagine how much fun that was. That was a little different, but I had a good life growing up. My mom was a single mom. Dad left me when I was young, but I had another role mom who stepped in, and I always knew as my dad, and so that was always a blessing, and those really are what made me who I am. My mom always told me, don't dream big, and my dad pretty much instilling in me that there's, no such word as can't. That being edified by actually a football coach of mine as well, and that's kind of how I grew up, and just always dreaming big, and it started for me, just little things, I'd do little things and just prove that there really wasn't anything I couldn't do. And those things, you get bigger and bigger and bigger, to where that it came like, I remember, one of my first things was, my big thing, I guess, was, I didn't achieve that one. But I remember back then in the day, David, you probably remember this was, I believe you would know this for sure. I was just talking to someone about this the other day. So was Grant Fuhr, was he not the first African-American hockey player? He was, wasn't he?
I believe so.
Yeah, I believe he was too. So back in the day when I was a little kid, I wanted to be the first African-American hockey player because there was none. But I couldn't skate. I was terrible. And, I had to use the boards and other people to stop, but I was on a mission. And, I went to a private school, St. George's Private School for Boys. And so everybody got to play, and the coaches didn't know what to do with me. And they were like, well, let's put him in goal because he doesn't really have to skate. He can just stand there. It can't be that bad. Well, my first game, we win the face-off, if you can picture this, David, and here comes the puck from center ice, slowly back towards the goal, all the way under my stick and into the goal. First play of the game. So, needless to say, that was my short career as a hockey player. Didn't go much, but my first big thing was, becoming an actor, I remember when I decided that that's what I was going to do. My original dream was to make the 84 Olympics as a sprinter, and I pulled my hamstring at 13, and I started getting these small acting parts. There was no African-American stuntman back then in Canada. My first acting role, I got this guy came out, and I remember I was sitting in the makeup chair, and they bring in this guy, and they say, hey, can you stand up a second? I stood up next to him, and they said, yeah, that'll work. Next thing I know, about an hour and a half later, in comes this guy all made up in black makeup and had an afro on. I had hair at the time, and that was my stunt double and also the beginning of a great relationship. His name was Jacob Rupp, and he was one of the top guys in Stunts Canada out there. And, you know, I had an athletic background, and he said, would you, you know, do you ever think about doing stunts? You know, you could make a lot of money doing this, you know. And I was like, oh, whatever, I'm down. You know, I was young at the time. And so I started doing that, and I became the first African-American stuntman in Canada. Me and a guy, Clark Thompson, kind of simultaneously. And, of course, I got every role, every bad guy role I got. You know, because every bad guy back then, of course, was black. So, you know, I would get the role because I was black and I could do stunts. I could say one or two lines and get blown up or get beat up or throw a punch or whatever. And then when I decided, I started getting bigger and bigger roles. And then it came to the point where I said, you know what, if I'm going to do this, I'm going to do this right, and I'm going to go get with the best of the best, and I'm just going to move down to L.A. and get into classes and stuff and do all that. But I remember somebody saying, because at the time there really wasn't any work for African-American actors, and even in that industry, I remember somebody saying to me, dude, don't waste your time. There's no work for black actors, and only 3% make a living. And, you know, those are the kind of things, when people say that to me, I'm like, okay, good, then I'll be part of the 3%. You know, I mean, I immediately gravitate that way, David. And so it was little things that got bigger and bigger and bigger, and that's kind of just how I roll. And now I've flipped it where what my passion is, what my why is that I have a dream that everybody will believe in themselves to the point to know that they're not just here taking up space on this earth, but they all have a gift and they all have a calling. And I'm on a mission to help people to see that, because that makes you really, really, to just walk around thinking that they're just pure taking up space, that they're just, you know, just not important, you know, and that's kind of where I've become full circle, and that's kind of what I do, you know?
I think that's amazing, and I want to touch on a couple of things. First of all, how were your parents, your mother and your, I guess it was your stepfather, but he really raised you. But how were they as people? What was their outlook on things that kind of shaped that real positivity that you have? What was their kind of approach to life?
Yeah, absolutely. And that, you're absolutely right. That does shape who you are. Well, you know, my mom, like I said, she was a single mom. You know, and I remember times like, you know, she put me in a private boys' school, okay, and which we certainly couldn't afford. And these are things I know in hindsight, of course. And but she wanted me to have the best, you know. So she, at one time, she had three jobs. And back in the day, you could do this kind of stuff. I don't think you can do this kind of stuff anymore. But one of her jobs, she was a hairstylist. She was a bank teller. And I forget what the other job was, but when she was a bank teller, because she couldn't get anybody to babysit me, she used to take me to work, and I used to be under, if you can picture this, like where her feet would go, you know, behind the counter, and that's where she would keep me during the day so that she could do the what she needed to do to help me to be able to have the life that she wanted to have. I mean, I remember things. I ran barefoot, David, until grade 7 in track, because we couldn't afford a pair of track shoes. In fact, my first pair of track shoes meant so much to me, I actually have them sitting right there. My very first pair of track shoes, they have these grass spikes on them, you know, and of course, I have moments with my kids where I'm like, you know, because kids of today are so, for lack of a better word, spoiled, and I'm like, guys, I got my first pair of track shoes still there. You could put them on right now in such good condition. You know, my mom used to make me track suits. My mom, you know, would do anything for me to to have a better life. And you know what was amazing about my mom, David, is that my mom, like I said, my original dream was to make the 84 Olympics as a sprinter. And she did everything possible to make sure that I could have every opportunity, working three jobs, doing whatever. And when that time came in my life, when I chose that I was going to become an actor, it wasn't the, I've killed myself, I've given up everything I have for you, and now you're going to throw it all away. It was immediately, Dave, without even skipping a beat, what can I do to help you? Just like immediately. That was like, what could I do to help you with that new dream? You know, and my dad, who I know is my dad, my stepdad, was just,
Sorry. My dad was a rock star.
Yeah.
My dad was a hero, you know. He was like, he was just a champion. And there was nothing he couldn't do. And, you know, he just, and that's how I grew up. You know, I just grew up watching that and witnessing that and just, I mean, he was stoic, you know, right to the point when my dad was 62 when he got Parkinson's. And he died at 87 when he was going down that final road, you know, when things were just really ugly. That, I remember we had a meeting and I finally got to meet his doctor for the first time. And I remember sitting there, me and my mom and a couple people making those decisions that you have to make. And the doctor said, you know, your dad was quite amazing. You know, he lived much longer than most people ever would live on Parkinson's. I mean, he had Parkinson's for over 20 years. And I remember me and my mom looking at each other because in our world, we only knew my dad to get Parkinson's at 73. So he was such an amazing man, David. And this is why I, just as I come out of surgery, why I'm up and walking 2 days later, because that's the imprint that I have in my life. That kind of a person who gets Parkinson's at 62 and so proud and so stoic and so strong that the woman that's sleeping next to him and is dead for 11 years doesn't even know it because he's hiding it. And, you know, when I look back, and I didn't live there, and I'd go back and visit, I would just chuckle to myself because I go, you know, my dad, I'd come back, and all of a sudden, my dad was this magician. He had all these card tricks, and he had all these coin tricks, and he was always putting these coins and doing these things, and he had this little place, and he'd always lean. And when I look back, I just go, man, he was hiding the shakes.
Amazing. That's amazing.
Sorry, dude.
That's the kind of imprint I have, and that's what makes me who I am, you know. When you have that kind of strong character, people in your life, you know, that's why I am who I am today.
I think, you know, the amazing strength and support that your parents provided for you. You know, you see nowadays, and this is really, really true, and I'm sure you deal with this with your own children, right? Your children maybe had a little bit more than, you know, than you had growing up, and strength and support also has to kind of be reminded on your children every single day because the world's a little different. But back then, that strength and support really could provide a tremendous foundation for someone like yourself to have the, I mean, for lack of a better word, the confidence to tackle everything that you have to deal with in life. And I think, and I want to transition into this, you know, before we talk about the entrepreneurship stuff that you do, and I call it entrepreneurship because you do something unique. And, you know, and I always think I'm a very good entrepreneur, but I've always struggled with something that you're great at, which is the entrepreneurship. And, I think the acting and the ability to go and become an actor and it's such a competitive field, and most people's and parents' natural inclination is to say, you're right, don't waste your time doing that. You know, go be an engineer, doctor, lawyer, take the potential sure bet, use your brain. And I think we'll get to this later, but you went after your passion and thereby, at the time, that was your main passion and thereby became successful. Mm-hmm. One of the things I do want to ask with respect to the acting component, because I think, not that we have a tremendous amount of actors that are part of our following, but I think it's valuable because athletes and actors seem to have a correlation there. How did you navigate those very difficult waters of rejection, and then how did you find opportunities in the acting space? And for people who don't know, Rial went on to be an actor for a very long time, steady work, which is very hard to find in acting, with General Hospital, if I'm not mistaken. And he was there for, and he'll expand upon for a very long time, getting a steady paycheck in a field that is very unsteady. So I know it's a lot, but maybe you can attempt to answer that.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And, yeah, I was on GH for close to 10 years. I'm actually on Days of Our Life now, playing an amazing character, Hell, so that's very exciting. But, yeah, you know, that's a phenomenal question, David. And, you know, just to lay the ground a little bit so people understand, because I think it's important, you know, because I've shared this in coaching. The average person goes to school, then they go to college. And the average person has maybe 3 to 4, I think you would agree, David, what I call the big interview. Oh, this is it, honey. If I get this job, they go out, they buy the nice suit, they get up all done. It's like, this is what I've worked for. This is what I've gone to school for, everything, man. This is going to be a game changer. We'll be able to buy that house. You know, you maybe have 2 or 3 of those in your life. You know, and it's either a yes or a no. And so you really only have to deal with that big rejection. You know, hopefully never. Hopefully you get off a great start. So that's absolutely right. You have that big, this is it. This could be the one. This is it. If I get this, this is everything I've worked on. Dude, sometimes you do that 3-4 times a day, 5 times a week. You know, so you're right. How do you keep picking yourself up and going, you know, character, you know, the character I got from my parents. Something I was able to tap into real early is just, I didn't know what it was at the time. I know what it is now, purpose and a why, you know, a calling, you know. These are things that I was driven, man. And I was just like, I had such a mindset, David. Now, you know, for a while there, I'd say, you know what, I wouldn't recommend it, but, you know, as I'm going through a journey that I'm going in right now, I don't know that I wouldn't recommend it, because I have an all-in attitude, and I know you do, too. It's like, if I'm going to do something, it's not, let me see if this works. No, I'm all in, and I had that, it's like Burn the Boat. I don't know if you read that book, you know, All In. It's a great book. If you haven't read that, read that book, All In. It's a phenomenal book, but, you know, there's history where that guy, you know what I'm talking about, he took those guys over there, and they sailed over there in a big boat. I think maybe it was Christopher Columbus or somebody. Don't hold me to that. History's not my thing, but it's a famous, it is historic. And they were going in there to do battle with somebody, and when all the warriors got off the boat and ran up the hill to go to war, they looked back, and the boat was burning. Because to him, that was it, guys. We're not going back. We're going in. And when I was doing the acting, like I said, I didn't really know what I was doing then, but I the attitude I had was, when I moved to Hollywood, I had this thing in my mind, I was not getting a menial job. Because to me, that meant I failed. And let me tell you something, there were times when I didn't have 25 cents back then you could get a stamp to send a letter home. I mean, there were tough times. I was a 17-year overnight success. Okay? 17 years. And then I got that big break on General Hospital. So there was a lot of, you know, but I had that, I'm not going to do that. I was all in. And I was just.
Can I interject? How do you? Because many people, okay, when they get to that point, right? You know, 17 years overnight success. What do you do on a daily basis to keep yourself plugging away on, you know, on your dream? What are some of the techniques you do on your mind and some of the actual actions you do to keep yourself focused when, you know what, it's hard to rub two nickels together, but you have this dream you're pursuing?
Yeah. That's a great question. You just have to know that this is what you really want. And I guess it's what I'm passionate about now, helping people to know that they do have a calling. And if that's your calling, you need to go after your dream because, you know, and just staying focused on your dream, I guess, and believing in yourself, you know, then there's going to be stuff that you're going to do. Like for me, it's working out, okay? For me, it's working out. Maybe it's dancing. For me, it's personal growth. That's huge. I'm constantly downloading books. I'm not a big reader, but I listen to audiobooks all the time. You know, I'm not a big fan of, for lack of better words, I'd say it's a waste of time to me. Now, don't get me wrong. I do like my little, you know, house music, you know, clean house music and my worship gospel music every now and then. But that's after I've listened to some good personal growth tapes, some good worship music, you know, some good. So I think feeding the soul, I guess, David, is important. Surrounding, this is huge. Surrounding yourself with like-minded people. Being very, this is one of the things I teach right now. I tell people, especially my younger kids, and I know it's a really hard concept to get because they're not like you and me, David, and they're young and they're my age, but I try to say, please, my desire is that you learn from me, that you don't have to wait to be 53 to figure it out, that you don't have to wait till you say, Rael told me so, you know, but you need to be like I tell people, write out your 10 commandments, just like a corporation, just like David Schumann Enterprise. You have certain things that you stand for. When you go to the NEC Combine, you know that there's a certain standard that people expect. Well, what are your standards, I tell people? You know, for me, like, it's no bullying, no negativity, must be somebody who's healthy, no smoking, not into partying, must be a family man. You know, these are certain things that I've written down. If you don't meet those things, I'm not mad at you. I'm not angry, but, dude, I'm 53. I got three beautiful kids and a wife, and I'm trying to change the world. I want to leave a legacy that is going to change millions of lives. I don't have time. Life's too short to hang out with people who aren't going in the same direction as me. And I try to tell people that that's huge. Because if you're hanging around a bunch of people that are like, dude, don't waste your time. Let's go party tonight. They're going to pull you down. You need to be around people that are saying, dude, you're a star, dude. You're a rock star. You are amazing. You got this, man. You're a champion. And they're trying to better their life in the same way. Does that make sense?
Makes perfect sense. You know, one of the things that I found, I mean, I actually, it's funny, right? You talk about success, and I talk about that I feel like I'm in a crossroads, okay? So I feel like I've gotten a tremendous amount of success from my drive and hard work and been able to build a platform. And you know what I feel like at the end of the day? I feel like it's not enough. So I started to move into figuring out new ways, and that's why we're doing this podcast. And what I felt was enough, what would have been great 10 years ago, it's not even close to great now. And I'll tell you what's really interesting. People who I loved hanging around with five years ago, okay, don't necessarily fit into what I want to do now. And it's hard for people to understand this. And my friend, you know, like I would say my college friends, I love them, but I gravitated towards the most successful ones of those. Guys that I always say, I didn't even hang out with some of these guys on a regular basis when I first got to college, you know, because I played ball, I like chasing girls, you know, I wanted to be around, you know, the cooler guys and all those kind of things. But as I started to find out what I wanted to be, some of those people did not fit into that. And over the years, they've fallen by the wayside. And I can't, you know, all it ends up being is they want to gossip about negativity. And I'm trying to figure out how I can juggle having a child and a woman that I love and coaching. And I'm trying to figure out more ways to do this to get tenfold out of what my day is. And other people are like, well, I just, you know, I have a job and that's what I do. And then I go home at the end of the day. And they make money. I said, you know, even if you made 10 times the amount of money you make than I do, your life is not the life that I want. Because you're not trying to achieve something to make somebody else better. And so I think that that's, I think that's such an interesting thing that you touched on. And I want to transition into what your one of your big passions is now. What are your thoughts on it? What do you think about that?
That's very powerful. There's a lot that we could probably do 12 podcasts on what you said, because that's powerful and it's important. But basically, you know, you're recognizing, and, you know, I mean, I hope that you recognize this. I'm pretty sure you do. You have a huge calling. Everybody's got a calling, but some of us have bigger callings than others. And you're being obedient to that inner voice you know, things, you got a wife now, you got a beautiful baby, you know, things are changing, and these people, you know, I've been reading a book, David, and I highly recommend it if you haven't read it for you yet. It'll really speak to you. It's called Kingdom Men, and it's by Tony Evans.
Again?
You know Tony Evans, Kingdom Men?
Yes.
Basically, in a nutshell, David, I mean, when I heard the description, I got goosebumps. I said, I need to read this. But the description is, Kingdom Man is a man that when David Schumann wakes up and puts his feet on the ground, the devil goes, oh, crap, not David. You know, a kingdom man is when David moves, earth, heaven, and hell recognize it. And the world needs kingdom men right now. The world needs men to step up and be who we're called to be. And that's really what you're talking about. You're hearing your calling. And you know what? And it's an awesome and it's a beautiful thing. And I wouldn't feel bad about it, buddy. I would just, you know, it's important. And it's important. Listen, here's the deal. That's human nature that you feel bad about your friends and stuff like that. But here's the deal. You know what? You need to lead for them so that they will. I like to say this, you know, you can either get on my train now or I'll come back and get you. But I'm looking for people that are ready to rock and roll right now, because we got to change the world. You can't go win, David, you know this, you can't go win a football game with the fans. You got to have
right. Your
best quarterback, your best center. You got, you know, then we'll go to the Super Bowl and then we'll all come back together and have some fun. But we're talking about the world needs some serious people right now to step up, and that's what you're feeling, and it's an amazing thing, and I'm excited for you. And, you know, you're feeling frustrated. Here's what I will tell you, and I hope I get this right, but this has been a big shifter for me, David, and what you just shared with me, it made me think of this. Most people, they want to do more to be something so they can have more, okay? And you're never going to be satisfied. I think it's called do, be, have. I hope I got that right. Where you want
yeah.
to get to the point where you want to switch it is where you want to be so you can have and you'll do less. And once you just get to know who David is, who Rael is, whoever you are, and you know who you are and your calling, then because it's like, you know, you know what it is like? You know, like if you go buy a new car, you got that car, you're all excited. But within 2 weeks, dude, it's got the kids spill some stuff over it, and you're already looking at another car. So if you're always doing things to have more stuff, you're never going to be satisfied. So you maybe just want to spend some time and just focus on and get in touch with who you are, because you're an amazing person, David. And then you'll get more satisfied, I think.
Absolutely. And this podcast has been incredible. We've interviewed some incredible people, and I encourage you to take a look. You go on iTunes after you get done with yours. That when we get it up there tomorrow. I want to talk about your Isogenics and what you're doing. And for those out there who don't know, Reala left Advocare, which was a great organization, which he was one of the top guys, distributors there at Advocare, and he used to come to every single one of our events, and he had teams of people that would come and provide Advocare products, and left cold turkey for Isogenics. And Rial is a big, not just healthcare nut, but he also really believes in training people, and I watch his videos on Facebook Live and developing people. Tell me what you love about Isogenics. Tell me what you know, what it's like to be an entrepreneur in the organization. So an entrepreneur is someone, obviously, who's an entrepreneur within an organizational structure. So tell me a little bit more about those kind of things, those two things.
Yeah, that's awesome. Entrepreneur, is that a word, David, or did you make it up? Because I kind of like it. Entrepreneur.
It's actually many years ago when I was when I first was in technology, they would say guys would come up with ideas. It's a big deal in the technology space, you know, and guys would come up with businesses within a business, right? So or come up with instead of just going to work every day, they had the freedom to build businesses or profit centers within their company. And we used to call those guys entrepreneurs. And my goal when I first worked for other people was to be a successful entrepreneur, to think about everything as my own business within the company, and thereby I would be successful instead of just thinking, okay, Mr. So-and-so pays me a check every 2 weeks, and, you know, I get that paycheck, I do my job. I always think being an entrepreneur, now you own, even though you don't own the company, you're leveraging the company to then make yourself successful.
Wow, that's awesome. Yeah, I like it. I was actually getting ready to do some new business cards. I was wondering what I was going to put on, and I might borrow it. Okay. First thing is, you know, like you said, Advocare was a huge part of my life. We love Advocare. It's been amazing for our family. We've had an amazing, extraordinary life, and we've been stay-at-home parents for 10 years, and you know, I just have nothing but the greatest of things to say for the company and everything. But, you know, it's just like, you know, and I want to say because it's no different than, you know, sometimes people have career changes. Just like I went from General Hospital to, you know, Days of Our Lives. You know, it doesn't mean that, it, you know, General Hospital is any, you know, good, bad, or better, you know. And a lot of people want to try to put that label on it. So I just want to say that, you know, it wasn't, for me, it was, you know, there were a few things that were important. One, most important, was it was a tough time for me to go through what I went through with my dad and really not be able to share with him what direct sales allows us to be able to do, which allows us to have an extraordinary life and life on our own terms because, you know, Advocare wasn't in Canada. So that was tough for me. It was a hard thing because I'm living the life that I'm living, but I couldn't help the two most people that were most dear to me, you know, and a lot of my friends. So, you know, when I was introduced to Isogenics, I just found for me the products were superior. That, you know, for me they worked. I mean, you know, the results are what they are. You know, if you look at my Facebook, I'm 53. I got abs. I've never had abs like that, and I was excited about that. You know, and I was excited about to be able to help my mom with that. And you know, they're also, you know, in we're in 11 different countries, going into 12, and you know, vision is to be worldwide. And, you know, my vision, as I shared with you earlier on the podcast, is I want to leave a legacy where I help millions and millions and millions of lives long after I've gone across the world. And so it was just a better fit for me at this time in my life on all levels. And I just, you know, the culture, you know, I'm blessed that I'm on an amazing team. You know, when we talk about, I'm very selective right now about my inner circle. You know, the people I surround myself with, you know, and it's just, for me, it was the right choice, you know, and the vehicle for me right now to be able to build an extraordinary life, continue building an extraordinary life. I'm just entrepreneur, whatever you are. I mean,
direct sales is the way to go, dude. I mean, it's just because you control your own legacy. You control your own. If you want more, you work more. You know, it's like, you know, it's one of my sayings is I don't make excuses, I don't take them. So I love that, you know, because if things aren't going well, guess what I do, David? I look in the mirror, you know. And I think because of the way my dad taught me and brought me up, that works well for me, you know. And I, there's no lid. You know, I'm doing what I'm passionate about. I'm changing lives. You know, the company's vision, the company's mission is to free people of physical and financial pain while building the world's largest health and wellness company. And creating a vehicle that, you know, if you so desire, you can have an extraordinary life. And this is my favorite thing, doing what you want with whomever you want, whenever you want. And that's really what life should be about. And that brings me back to why I'm passionate about helping people to say, wake up. You're a champion, you know. And I tell people, I will believe in you until you believe in yourself. I see it. It makes me sad. It really does. It makes me, you know, when they think, you know, and I will tell you this, David, on another note, right? When I was a pizza delivery boy, I was the best pizza delivery boy there could be. That was my mindset. I'm not even joking. I'd go to work every day. I wouldn't go to work on, I'm just a pizza delivery boy. No. I said, if I'm going to be a pizza delivery boy right now, I'm going to be the best pizza delivery boy there is. I'm going to be the fastest guy to get my orders there the fastest. I'm going to do everything with excellence, and that's how I roll. When I was washing windows, I'm going to be the best window washer there is. When I was cleaning those greasy, yucky, stupid floors at night, and especially in those Chinese restaurants where the grease is so thick that the brushes wouldn't even turn, that was that. Dude, I brought some piranhas. I brought some oh, my God, David. I brought some prawns home one day. We were cleaning this Chinese restaurant, and we were in the fridge, and they had some prawns. I had piranhas back then. I brought those prawns home, and I threw them in my fish tank to the piranhas. The piranhas wouldn't even touch them.
Wow.
Yeah, but anyway, I went a little sideways. But basically, I try to tell people, you know, these are some of my sayings. There's no such word as C-A-N-T. They will become who you are. You know, I don't make excuses. I don't take them. You know, do things with excellence. I say that every day in my class. When I do things with excellence, I say to my class, why? And they know. They say, because it has your signature on. How do you want to be remembered? I tell people that every time. This could be the last time. We've all been there. Everybody listening to this podcast, I'm sure, has at least one person in their life who went home to be with the Lord way before it was expected. So to me, it's like, it sounds kind of morbid, I guess, or hardcore or whatever, but that's how I ruin my life. When I wake up and I open my eyes, I look around, oh, awesome, thank you, Jesus. I've been blessed with another day on this earth. And then I go and I just roll like it's my last day till I go back to bed, because it could be. And I do everything with excellence the best I can. Am I perfect? Hell no. Do I make mistakes? Oh, yeah, a lot. You know, but I'm always striving to be the best I can be.
I think I want to leave on that because that was extraordinarily special. If you could give me two things before we get off, and this is for the people who follow you from a health and fitness standpoint, two things people can do right now to improve their health and fitness.
Two things. Choose. Make a choice to have a better life. And then just show up. Show up at a gym. Show up at a program. Get with a coach. Get with a program. Just choose and show up. That's it. Don't overthink it. Just make a decision today. My life will be different forever. Today, I'm going to lose this weight. Today, you know, whatever that choice is, and then just show up.
find a coach, find a gym, find something, find a program. Reach out to me if you want. You know, you can reach out to me in www.joincoachrayal.com if you want to contact me, or, you know, I'm here to help. Reach out to me on my Facebook, facebook.com, coach, I think it's Coach Rayal Andrews, facebook.com, Coach Rayal Andrews. You know, get in touch with me, David. Reach out to David. David's an awesome coach, okay? So just choose and show up. That's it. Choose and show up.
Unbelievable interview. I really appreciate you coming on. I believe in everything you're doing, and I thank you for taking the time to share that with my vast audience. I really do. Those you can see more, we'll have everything up on the podcast at NUC Football, and you can find Rayal Andrews. Give that website address again, Rayal.
Yeah, you can. Well, my main site where you can find everything, think of the mothership, is just my name, www.rayalandrews.com. You know, you can also reach out to me specifically at joincoachrayal.com or find me on Facebook. Facebook is facebook.com, Coach Rayal Andrews.
Rayal, thanks so much for coming on. And like you always says, people have got to become a champion. And you got to take those steps to do that. And everybody has a champion in them.
That's right, guys. I'll believe in you till you believe in yourself. My hashtag right now, David, is hashtag Tebejo, T-E-B-V-E-O. And that's Spanish for I see you, which means I see you. I see your greatness in you. I believe in you. I will believe in you till you believe in yourself. Let's get this done, guys.
All right. Thank you very much, Rayal. Have a great day.
You too. God bless.
That's a wrap for the Life Learning Success Podcast with Rayal Andrews. I hope you enjoyed it. If you do, make sure you check me out on iTunes and the Life Learning and Success Podcast. Give us some great comments and hopefully 5-star rating. The more we get it, the better it helps to get our podcast more popular and reach more people. Thank you and have a great day.